Okay, so tonight we're going to be discussing Korach, and kind of like last week, the pickings are a little slim when you talk about machloket between Rambam and Ramban over here. It's a pure narrative, and there's not much that we find in the Rambam about this whole Korach story, which takes up about 3/4 of the parasha. So we will try to find something to discuss, and it's going to be the Ketoret, actually. So I'll read to you the psukim at the beginning of the parasha, after we find out that Korach takes himself to the side and decides he's going to rebel against Moshe Rabbeinu. The Torah says, "Vayikalu al Moshe ve'al Aaron ve'imar aleihem rav lachem." Korach says, "You've taken too much. Ki kol ha'idah kulam kedoshim u'betocham Hashem u'madua titnasu al kahal Hashem." All the people are holy. We all, you know, stood at Har Sinai. We're all great people. Why are you raising yourself above us? Moshe hears, he falls on his face, he gets upset, and he says, "All right, in the morning we'll see. We're going to do a korban off. We're going to do some kind of sacrificial contest, and we'll see who Hashem chooses." Zot asuk chulachem machtot korach v'chol adato. Korach and all of your friends take machtot, fire pans. Utnuban esh v'simu alehen ktoret ifnei Hashem. Take fire and put the ktoret on it in front of Hashem. Machar b'ya ish asher yivchar Hashem hu hakadosh rav lechem b'nei Levi. And whoever is the one that Hashem chooses, he's going to be the one who is holy. He's going to be the one who's holy, not everybody. Okay, and we all know what happens. So here's my question though: why does Moshe Rabbeinu pick this medium, the ktoret, is going to be the thing that's going to decide who is going to be in charge of the Avodat Korbanot, the relationship with God in Bnei Israel? How is it that the Ketoret is what's chosen? Okay, Karen, you know? Let's hear it.
It was my bat mitzvah parsha.
Okay, what do you have to say?
Vayikach Nadav ve'Avihu ish machtato ve'etnu v'hen esh v'yasimu alehen ketoret v'yakrivu lifnei Hashem.
That's Acharivot. Yeah, that's Shmini. Sorry. Okay, but how does that help us over here?
Because the result was that Nadav and Avihu themselves were consumed by the fire.
Okay, and how does that help us over here, though?
Well, it's a question of how you see Nadav and Avihu's actions. The more generous-minded among us say that they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they wanted to be close to God. And others have commented that they had no business doing that because it was their father's job and they trampled on their father's rights.
Okay. So how does that help inform us why Moshe Rabbeinu picked the Ketoret to do the job over here?
Because Moshe was basing on past experience that Hashem would consume them. Hashem would make it known that we're done here.
Okay, that's interesting. Just keep in mind that Aaron is doing the same thing, right? Aaron is also bringing the Ketoret. So let's see. So I think what Karen said is she's onto something. So we're going to take a look first at the Ramban. Ramban, we're going to see a bunch of Rambans tonight. Rambam, we're only going to see one. But the Ramban is going to start us off. Ramban comments over here, Vinay. He has two theories. Hine, number one, Moshe me'atzmo chashav machshava zot. There's one position that the Ramban takes, that this was all Moshe's idea. He is the one who initiated this entire idea. V'ratza b'ktoret yodim yishar korbanot, ki ra'a kvar benadav aviyu, ki v'akivam ktoret zara lifnei Hashem nisrafu. Exactly what Karen said. That on the one hand, Moshe Rabbeinu maybe came up with this idea himself, and he was inspired by what happened with Nadav and Abihu, which was by no means a good event, not something that Moshe was happy or proud of. But he decided that, okay, we've used the Ketoret for this once, we'll use it again. Hashem will burn up the ones that he doesn't like. What do we say about Aharon, though? So what about Aharon? Why did he get away with it? So Moshe said, okay, for Aharon, it's going to be okay. He had that power. Moshe could say, it's okay for Aaron to do it. That's one option. Or maybe, frankly, they cheated a little bit. Maybe Aaron was allowed to do it because, according to the Ramban, there's a possibility that the Ketoret that Aaron brought was the Ketoret. It was the proper ketoret that you're supposed to bring every single morning. And so that's why nothing happened to Aharon. And meanwhile, the 250 other people who did it, they brought kind of a maverick ketoret on their own. And that's why these terrible things happen. When the Rabban says it like this, it's a little bit, it surprises you, because my impression was that it was a fair fight. But when the Rabban says it like this, it doesn't sound like a fair fight anymore. It sounds like Moshe told Aaron, you do your job just like you do every day. And these 250 other shlemiels, are going to try to do their own freestyle. And we'll see what happens. It wasn't a contest. It wasn't a mano. It was totally different. What do you think of that? I think it's pretty surprising. It's not how we see the movie in our heads. But that's only the second position. The first position, according to Moshe, according to Ramban, is that, yeah, Aaron had special dispensation, letzorach sha'ah, which makes it a little bit more fair. Okay, the Ramban continues. U'batach Moshe ki Hashem mekim dvar avdo. One way or another, according to Ramban, this was all Moshe's idea. How did Moshe know that it was going to work out? Sorry. Moshe batach ki Hashem mekim dvar avdo v'atzat malachav yashlim. Moshe just had trust in God that Hashem would not turn him into a liar, would uphold what he thought was the right thing to do. That's position number one. Position number two, that when it says what was Moshe doing? He was praying / speaking to God to find out, what should I do? It's not a coincidence that Vayipol Panav precedes his challenge. It's the reason for the challenge. He got the idea from God. What's the problem with this? It doesn't say that. It doesn't say anywhere in the Torah that Hashem told him to do this. So Ramban says, not a problem. When Moshe told the Am that this is what Hashem told them to do, then that's when he found out. But we don't have to know inside the story all the time that Hashem is speaking to Moshe. And this happens all the time, he says. We see all the time that Moshe will say post facto, yeah, I got this idea from God. When we look in the text, we don't see that the idea is there. And we don't assume that Moshe is lying. We just assume that the text left out the story. That's that part of the story the text left out. We have similar things all over the place. We see it actually also by Yaakov and his wives. He tells them, Hashem told me this. And we don't have that. So it's not surprising. But there's two, in other words, there's two competing theories. Number one, that Moshe came up with this whole idea by himself. And number two, that Hashem gave him the idea. Fine. He continues and he says, "V'dati baze b'mesh amar la'aron kachat amachta v'sim k'toret sh'aita alav yad Hashem b'hem v'lo nikra ruach ha'kodesh." He thinks it was ruach ha'kodesh. In other words, a combination. It's not that Moshe Rabbeinu came up with the idea by himself, and it's not that Hashem gave him a nevuah. It's that he was inspired. He had ruach ha'kodesh. And here actually we have a little bit of a confluence with the Rambam. The Rambam has different levels of nevuah. And one of the lower levels, actually, is Ruach HaKodesh. For example, the Ramban actually is almost ripping off the words of the Rambam, right, like, word for word. Kenyan b'sifrei David b'shlomo shayu b'Ruach HaKodesh. The Rambam says that David and Shlomo were not Nevi'im per se. They didn't experience Nevu'ah. They experienced Ruach HaKodesh. They were inspired. They had some kind of divine spirit that spoke through them or addressed them or instructed them and guided them. But that's not the same thing as nevuah. So the Torah doesn't want to say that Hashem told him to do it over here because Hashem didn't speak to Moshe in the typical way that he usually spoke with Moshe. Usually Hashem speaks with Moshe in a conversation style, whatever that means, which is unique to Moshe. Here, that didn't happen. Here, Hashem gave him an intuition of what to do. That's called Ruach HaKodesh. Okay, this is what the Ramban has to say over here about the Ketoret, but we don't really get any insight into the nature of the Ketoret and why the Ketoret was the appropriate tool to use for this mission, right? So let's go to the next section. And here we have a passage from the Mor Nevuchim. We might have seen this before. This is the section of the Mor Nevuchim that talks about the Mikdash, about the Mishkan, and the purpose of all the Kelim in the Mishkan. And so over here, the Rambam is giving his philosophical basis of what the whole Mishkan was about. So he says, since many beasts were daily slaughtered in the holy place, the flesh cut in pieces and the entrails and the legs burnt and washed, the smell of the place would undoubtedly have been like the smell of slaughterhouses, if nothing had been done to counteract it. In other words, the Mikdash was probably a very, very smelly, aromatic place with lots of, you know, barbecues going on all the time and blood, you know, boiling everywhere. They were therefore commanded to burn incense there twice a day, in the morning and in the evening, in order to give the place and the garments of those who officiated there a pleasant odor. According to the Rambam, the point was to give a pleasant odor in the Mikdash. There's a well-known saying of our sages, in Yericho, they could smell the incense. It had a very, very strong smell. This provision likewise tended to support the dignity of the temple. If there had not been a good smell, let alone if there had been a stench, it would have produced in the minds of the people the reverse of respect. For our heart generally feels elevated in the presence of good odor and is attracted by it, but it abhors and avoids bad smell. In other words, you don't expect the king to have BO. And if he did, you would lose respect. Why? Everybody sweats. Everybody, has a bodily odor, but it diminishes the nobility and the respect and the dignity. So the Mikdash needed to have a good smell. So what's the purpose of the Ktoret? Baruch, what was the purpose of the Ktoret ultimately, according to the Rambam? To give it a good smell, to make sure that everybody...
To make sure everything and everybody smell better.
That's exactly right. Okay?
The original Febreze.
Exactly. So it makes everything better. It's a nice smell and it makes everything better. That's according to the Rambam. That is the background for the Ktoret in general. Okay, keep going. The Ramban in the beginning of at the end of Parshat Titzaveh in Shmos Perek Lamed. So we know that Truma and Titzaveh are the introduction to the Mishkan, correct? Now, which kelim are introduced in Parashat Truma? It's important to know. All the classics, right? The Aron Kodesh. What kelim do we have?
Is it the Kiyor?
The Kiyor is not in Truma, actually. Okay. But that's a minor thing that it's not in Truma. What is in Truma? The classics, right? The Aron Kodesh, the Shulchan.
Mizbeach.
Which Mizbeach?
Both.
Oh, so, Dad, didn't we learn that it's not both? So, the Shulchan, the Aron HaKodesh, the Mizbeach HaAdama, which is the bigger one outside, is introduced. And the, what did I not mention? The Menorah and the Shulchan. Good. But the Mizbeach HaZahav, which is the Mizbeach HaKtoret, that's the one that's inside the Kodesh, which they use to burn the incense, is not mentioned in Parashat Truma. It's left missing until we get to the end of Parashat Tetzaveh. And the Mefarshim all wonder why. And the Ramban gives an answer over here. He says, V'asita mizbech mikdar ketoret, hinei mizbech ha-ketoret min ha-kelim ha-pnimim haya. Ra'ui she'ezkirenu im shulchan v'amenorah she'humunachim haya. It should have been mentioned in the previous week's Parashah, along with the Shulchan and the Menorah. It was situated right between them. And when everything is repeated, the Mizbech HaKtoret is with everything else. So why is it excluded? So Rabban suggests that somehow the Ktoret, or the Mizbech HaKtoret, is the Makeh B'Patish of the Mishkan. It's the siomet, it's the end. Once we have all the other kelim, then we can mention the Mizbeach HaKtoret. V'zeu raz shenim sar l'moshe Rabbeinu, shaktoret otzeret amagefa. Somehow this is connected to the secret that Moshe heard, that the Ktoret prevents a magefa. Ki haKtoret b'midat hadin. This is the big line. Because the Ktoret represents the quality of justice, of strict justice. Shneamar, how do we know? Yasimu ktora ba'apecha. Ktora ba'apecha is your anger, right? Put a ktora through apecha. Min v'chara api, when the nose flares up when a person is angry. V'hu mashamar b'ktorat zara v'apnei ha'al kol ha'am echabed. This is the story of Karen's parsha, of Parshat Shmini, where Nadav and Avihu bring a ktoret, an esh zara, that they're not supposed to bring, and they're killed. And Hashem says, "Al pnei kol ha'am echabed. I will be sanctified. I will be honored in front of everybody." Shidu kvodi ki lo yisa pishachem v'yizaru bichvodi. And now you'll be careful about my kavod. I won't be merciful when you impinge upon my kavod in such an egregious and blatant way. Why does it have to go on and on and on about this? It's telling you how important it is. It goes last because it represents the protection of God's kavod. Now this Ramban is a little bit Kabbalistic, or very much Kabbalistic. It refers to the Midat Adin and mentions, you know, a sod. And whenever you have a sod in the Ramban, you need a little bit of help to try to understand what's going on. So one of the ways of getting help further with the Ramban, of course, is to look at the footnotes of the blue version. You can't see it. That's the blue version. But what he often does is he quotes one of the Talmidim of the Ramban, which is the Rabbeinu Bachaye. Okay, Rabbeinu Bachaye has a commentary on the Torah, which much of it is basically cribbed from the Ramban with a little bit more explanation. So we'll see if he helps us over here. Not sure. So he says on the same pasuk, "Kivan shebier lanu harav bekan inyan haktoret besodo." Right, the Ramban has explained the idea of the ktoret with its secret. Me'ata ra'ui lakol maskil laharchik dat harambam shekata bazeh b'tamei mitzvot ki lefi shayol moed makom shesham mechatchim etc. Ramban, the Rabbeinu Bachaye takes this opportunity to take a shot at Maimonides, at the Rambam, at the Mor Nevuchim. Now, why is he taking a shot? What does he say? He says, look, the Rambam, Aravi Chichol Omar Kein Derech Asher Darach Ba B'Shar Mitzvot, says, look, this is classic Rambam. This is classic Rambam, this idea that the Ketoret is just there to make it smell nice. This is what the Rambam says about all the pieces of the Mishkan. It's there to create an ambience, to create some kind of mood. Aval chas v'shalom, shenitle ha'ikar ha'gadol shebesod ha'ktoret shechiva alav Torah karet lo'oseh kamohu kemat konto betam ha'chalush hazeh. He says, but the Rambam's reason leaves us wanting, because the severity and the harshness that Hashem deals with people that mess around with the Ketoret belies such a mundane reason. And I'll explain it when we get to the Nadav and Avihu. But you see what the Rabbeinu Bachaye is saying? He's saying, at least twice in the Torah, you find that people die because they mishandle the Ketoret. And the flip side, in this week's parasha, when Aharon wants to protect the people from the Magefa, he brings the Ketoret again, and it saves everybody. You can't just say, says Rabbeinu Bachaye, that's all about making a nice smell. How do you read these parshiot in the Torah, these stories? It's clear that the Ketoret has some kind of special power or property. It's not just incense that you light up and make sure that your room smells nice.
Wasn't it one of the nisim of the Beit HaMikdash that everything didn't smell? Wasn't that, one of the nisim was there was always room for everybody, no matter how many people right. came in. Yeah. And another one of the nisim was, I believe, that all the offerings didn't smell awful.
Yeah, that's true.
Which belies that other opinion about the Ketoret being there to cover up the smell.
Yeah, that's true. So, okay, we'll get back to the Rambam later. Let's continue, though. Ramban, the other place where he's going to talk about what the Ketoret is about is, again, Chet Nadav and Avihu. You have a number of places where the Ketoret gets talked about. It gets talked about in Truma Tetzaveh, in Tetzaveh, where it's introduced. It gets talked about with Nadav and Avihu, and it gets talked about here with Korach. So the Ramban in Vayikra, in Shmini, he says, this sin of Nadab and Avihu, what was it? So he says, the problem, this is very hard to read, I will tell you. Tedu mimash amar vayakrivu lifnei Hashem eish zara, velo amar vayakrivu lifnei Hashem ktoret. It says that they brought an eish zara. It doesn't mention that they brought the ktoret. Asher lo tziva otam. It doesn't say that they weren't supposed to bring the ktoret. Vine, heim samu ktoret al ha'esh. They put the ktoret on the fire. Kinyan shamar katuv, yasimu ktora ba'apecha, velo samu libam rak lazot. Vine, lo haya ishei rech nicholach. And this was not a favorable smell for Hashem. And the reason is vayasimu aleha ktoret. Shelo amar vayasimu alehen. Kasher ne'amar ba'adat korach. This is very hard to read exactly what's going on over here. It says, if you'll notice, it says vayasimu aleha in the singular by Nadab and Abihu. And it says vayasimu alehen in the plural by Korach. Okay? Very hard to understand what the Rabban is getting at. Utnu bahen eish v'simu alein k'toret v'sham od v'natatam aleihem k'toret aval amar b'kan aleha. What's the idea? They're most al ha'eish bilvad samu k'toret v'teitze eish v'lifnei Hashem v'tochal otam. Very hard to understand what's going on over here.
Is it not grammatically feminine?
It is, yes. It is.
Eish is
true.
Feminine. Eish is feminine.
Oh, Eish right. Is feminine, is it? Ah,
yeah.
Okay.
Well, the Rabbeinu Bachaye once again is going to try to save us. And he explains, Al derech Kabbalah, tavin chata'am, yima sh'amar katuv vayasimu aleha, v'lo amar vayasimu aleihem. Okay. Keshem sh'amar binyan korach, vayetnu aleihem Eish. So it was never going to be aleihem. That is, vayetnu aleihem Eish, vayasimu aleihem ktoret. And it tells that in other places as well. So what's the difference? Kimilat alea tirmoz lemidat hadin. I don't know what that means. But it's clear what he's saying is that the problem was that they were addressing the midat hadin. V'akatuv hodienu machshavtam bazeh v'yadua ki aktora the midat hadin. And what's going on? Lashon ktoret. What is the word ktoret? What does the word mean? Hitkashrut aruach bamidot. Targum v'tikshor v'ktoret. The attachment of the spirit of the ruach of Hashem to the midot. Umitoch hitkashrut ahu ba sheva hamshacha mimala l'midat adin. Umimidat adin yavo sheva bracha l'maktir. V'maktir l'midat adin ein v'ailo sheichaven el l'shem hamiyuchad abada. Okay. Now we're getting somewhere. What happened was, is that when a person brings the ktoret, what they're doing is they are connecting the ruach to the midot, which means the influx of divine energy to the kelim in this world, to the vessels in this world. That's what he's talking about. It's a Kabbalistic idea, but a person is directly bringing down the divine light influx into this world. And Rabbeinu Bachai says the problem is that when a person does that, that's fine. As long as you have in mind to be addressing the Midat HaRachamim, which is represented by the Shem HaMiyuchad, Yud Gei Vav Kei. Because then you're somewhat protected from it, because you're basically saying, Hashem, I have great respect for you. But when a person addresses the Midat HaDin, when they do that, which means the Midah of justice and not Rachamim, then they're basically saying, God, judge me and see if I'm worthy. According to Rabbeinu Bachaye, the problem with Nadav and Avihu was that they thought that they were actually worthy of receiving this divine influx on their own, without any rachamim, without any kind of mediation. That was the problem. And when the influx came down, it burned them up, because no man is worthy. No person is worthy. They thought it was time to address the Midat HaDin directly. They brought that ktoret. Okay. And this is apparently is what the Ramban thinks as well. That's the role of the Midat Hadin over here. Does that make sense?
I'm sorry, I've been dropping in and out, so I haven't really.
Sorry.
What the connection between the Ktoret and the Midat Hadin? I'm sorry, I didn't get it.
The point of the Midat Hadin, according to Rabbeinu Bachaye, is that when a person brings the Ketoret, he is connecting. He's kosher from above and below.
Yes.
If that person addresses the Shem HaMiyuchad, which is Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is our personal name of Rachamim of Hashem, then everything will be fine because basically he's appealing to Hashem's Rachamim. But if he does it through the Midat HaDin, then he's basically saying, I am worthy, Hashem, of this influx. And no man is worthy. No man is worthy.
So how do we know that Nadav and Avihu were doing it through...
So that's where this word aleha comes from. I can't, you know, say that I understand, but when he says kimidat aleha tirmoz lemidat hadin versus alehem, aleha versus alehem means that they were addressing midat hadin instead of midat harachamim. It could be zachar nekeva, it could be something else. I'm not sure, but the point over here is that it's midat hadin. Now, if we transpose all of that to Korach, something interesting happens. What happens? Korach, what did he say to Moshe? What did he say? He said, Moshe, we don't need you and Aaron. Or we don't need Aaron. Why?
Kulam Kodoshim.
Ki kol ha'idah, kulam kodoshim. Korach is basically saying, Moshe, we have no need for Midat HaRachamim. We are worthy of Midat HaDin. Yes? Now, this can help us understand the difference between Korach and Aharon. Because what could be going on, the Sfat Emet actually brings this out. He highlights this idea. Was Aharon excited about being Kohen Gadol? Was he like all gung-ho and like, you know, let me at it. Let's do it. Karen, is Karen still on here? You should know.
I'm here.
In Parashat Shmini, is Aaron very gung-ho about being the Kohen Gadol?
No. He faced this incredible tragedy of his two sons dying. And it
even
says,
before that,
he was silent.
Even before that, right at the beginning, when he's asked to start the Avoda, Rashi says, Aaron hesitates. He's told to go and he doesn't go. Moshe says, what are you waiting for? And Aaron says, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy of this. And then Moshe says, Lama tabosh lekach nivcharta. What are you afraid of? What are you embarrassed about? This is what you were chosen for. Aaron has this midah of anava, of humility. He doesn't think he's worthy of it, which is the exact reason for why he is worthy of it. That's what Moshe tells him. It's this midah of reticence, of humility. That's what makes you worthy to be Kohen Gadol. Because you, every time you approach, you're going to appeal to which one? Midat HaRachamim or Midat HaDin?
Me?
Midat HaRachamim.
Aaron, if I stand before Din, I wouldn't be standing.
Exactly. And Aaron feels that way as well. Aaron feels that way. So when he brings the Ketoret, he has the right thing in mind. He has Midat HaRachamim. But when Korach and when Nadav and Avihu, when they bring the Ketoret, what happens? They address the Midat HaDin, and that's why they're burnt up. So you could say the same thing for Nadav and Avihu and for Korach, according to Ramban.
Isn't there something, if you go right back to Bereishit, I don't know where it comes from, but isn't there something about Hashem created the world with Midat HaDin, and then he saw it couldn't survive, and so he, you know, so... Didn't they know that?
You're exactly right. That's one of the first Rashi's on Chumash, that he had in mind to create the world out of Din, but then he knew that it wouldn't survive, so he mishatef imo rachamim. He added a pinch of rachamim. That's exactly right. And many of the Hasidic Svarim say that this is true of everything. Every single aspect of life has this. There's a midat ha-din, and then there's a midat ha-rachamim that needs to be mediating that. So this would fit in there. And Korach, he wanted straight up midat ha-din. He said, we are worthy. And he was wrong. But Moshe had to let them do it. So this is one idea. Now, getting back to the Rambam, what can we do to save the Rambam? Right? Because Rabbeinu Bachai's attack is pretty cogent. After all, it's nice to say that the Torah is there for the smell, but how does that explain everything? So there is another halakha in the Rambam that we need to look at. This is straight up halacha. Natan l'tocha dvash kol shehu psala. If you add honey to the ktoret, it's pasal. Chiser achad misam b'maneha chayav mita. Sharei naaseit ktoret zara. Very interesting. If you leave out even one of the ingredients of the ktoret, you're chayav mita. Right, pitum ktoret, we say that. And that's interesting. He calls that a ktoret zara. Interesting. Ktoret zara. Reminds you of the Yesh zara, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what are the ingredients? Why would somebody leave out an ingredient in the ktoret?
Aha. If it's meant to make the place smell nice and you've got an ingredient that doesn't,
exactly,
then you might be tempted to leave it out.
Exactly. You have the chalbanum, galbanum. Anybody ever smell galbanum? I've never. No. I don't know what it is. The chalbanum, bosem sharecho ra, it is a spice which is a bad smelling spice. V'korin lo galbanum. U'mena'a katuv bein samanei aktoret lamdeinu, Rashi says in Shmot, lelamdeinu shelo yekal beinenu litzaref imanu bagudat haniyotenu etfilotenu et poshe Yisrael sheyu nimdin imanu. Right? Famous thing. That the chalbana is part of the ktoret, even though it's bad smelling, to teach us that we should not think that there's a problem with including poshe Yisrael, people who are rishaim from Klal Yisrael, be they regular people, be they politicians, it doesn't matter. All of them should be included in our tefillot because they're all counted as part of Klal Yisrael. No matter how bad they smell, they all count as part of Klal Yisrael. Now, obviously, if you were going to leave one out of the ktoret, this is the one you would leave out. And why would you leave it out? Because you want to ignore that spice exists, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that this is what the Rambam, this is how the Rambam thinks about the ktoret, and I'm not saying this is how he would explain the story of Korach. I have no idea. I'm just homiletically using the Rambam and his idea of the good smell, right? If the whole idea is a good smell, and apparently you have a bad ingredient, which is part of the good smell, if all you cared about was the smell, you might think, let's take that out. But the Rambam is saying that no, part of that good smell comes from this bad smelling thing, comes from these people who are not kadosh. Korach believes that the ideal, or not the ideal, but the reality of Klal Yisrael is that kol ha'am kadoshim. Everybody is holy. And therefore, he is basically just forgetting the fact. He doesn't want to go race. He doesn't want to even realize or think about the fact that, frankly, there are people in Klal Yisrael who are not holy. And they're part of Klal Yisrael. They need to be thought about. They need to be prayed for. They need to be gathered in. They need to be talked to. And Korach obviously doesn't want to because he believes that everybody is holy. He has erased them from the ktoret. That's why perhaps the ktoret is used. It's this beautiful smell that Korach only wants to concentrate on the good parts of the smell and not on the bad parts. I saw in an article in the Gush website, the incense which connects the nation and highlights the inner spark that is common to all may be misleading. It may convey the sense that all are holy. That's the impression you get. It is therefore the incense itself that proves the mistake in this way of thinking. The burning of the incense serves to clarify that not everyone is worthy of creating that inner connection. There are levels of holiness. The incense must be prepared and offered in a most precise manner by people specially chosen by God. And it is therefore the incense service that is the most appropriate test to identify who is worthy of the lofty task of joining all the souls of Israel to the source of their holiness. It's very nice that Korach thinks that, you know, kol ha'am kedoshim. But in that statement, he is revealing his ignorance and disconnect with the people, which Aaron doesn't have. Aaron is connected. Aaron knows the good and the bad, and he embraces everybody. And in that act, they're showing that they're not worthy. And the Torah itself shows that. The Torah says, no, the bad smell is part of the good smell. It's part of the good smelling Torah. So that's how maybe the Rambam could be saved. And that's the severity of the Torah. It carries such a powerful message within it, even if you don't understand it Kabbalistically. All right, that's what I wanted to share with everybody tonight. I covered the Ramban and the Rambam, and I realized that the Rambam was a little bit speculative. There's not much much to work with there, but I think we did an okay job.
Okay. That was very interesting.
I think you did the Rambam justice.
All right. All right.